I've seen leaders really get mean. I've seen leaders get judgmental and degrading. And to me, that has no place in the workplace.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Dottie Posto. Here's three facts that I think you should know about her. One, Dottie has worked both internally or as a consultant for a lot of big name companies. The Chicago Tribune, KPMG Pete Marwick, Hewlett Associates, Walgreens, Harley Davidson, my favorite, Waukesha Gas Engines, Whole Foods Market, and Molson Coors Beverage Company, another one that I know well. That's not to brag, that's to say that she's experienced great, good, satisfactory, bad, and horrible examples of leadership in her career. Second fact about Dottie, her energy and passion for her work are evident in how she coaches and consults with individuals and companies. She's observant of all that's said and not said. She's waiting to call out the elephant in the room, clear challenges, and guide clients in more powerful solutions. The third fact about Dottie is she's inspired by her daughter. In the past 6 months, Dottie has trained for and completed 2 half marathons. When she thought that running was truly a thing of her past, and I can certainly relate to that. I'm not running marathons anymore. Dottie Posto, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks, George. It's great to be here.
Delighted to be talking with you today. And we're going to talk about some of those bad leadership examples who are not, might not necessarily be bad people, just at a bad stage in their leadership development. But is that a kind way of putting it?
Yeah, and it may not even be a bad stage in their leadership development. There might just be something going on in their life or challenging point of their development period, because that was me years ago. I mean, I was at a challenging point. I had some things personally and some things just that I hadn't grown through yet.
So we don't have to give up on a leader just because they're just not getting along well with people right now. What is your approach? And tell me if this happens. Do they say, Dottie, we've got one of these people. You know the type. We think they have potential, but right now they're just pissing everybody off. So when you get that kind of call, what's your approach? What are you looking for?
One of the big things that I look for is, one, is the company committed to the leader? So that's the first thing. Are they committed to providing them with a coach, providing them with the support for them to actually learn and grow and shift? And then the second thing is that leader open to input? And they're both equally important, because this takes time to shift behavior, usually. Some leaders can do it very quickly and can make shifts quickly. And to sustain the change over a long period of time, it usually takes some time. And so the leadership of the organization has to be committed to working through and supporting this leader through their fits and starts and trials and tribulations as they grow through the change. And the leader themselves have to be committed. If they think that there is not a problem with them at all, or that it's everybody else, which sometimes happens, that, you know, I think that's often a huge mistake that people make, is that if they didn't do this, If they didn't do that, if they weren't doing X, Y, Z, if the circumstances were different, then I would be different. That's not the case, because it's trying to change the whole world when really what's happening is it's really your thought about it. How you behave is because of how you're thinking about it and how you're feeling about it. And that's what's making that action, whatever action is causing the, you didn't bring it up, but I will, the does not play well with others on my our report card. The, you know, some people call it a personality conflict, which I do not like that term. It is, you know, we are in such a brain state of reactivity that something happens out there that we've seen or heard or experienced before, and it's triggering us. And our amygdala is saying, our brain is saying, you're not safe. And it goes into fight, flight, or freeze. Or there's also tend and befriend or fawn on that some women do. You know, so they might, a woman might go into people pleasing, might go into, oh, everything's great, everything's fine, and never challenge anyone. Or someone might be in the fight and really go into challenging others and being very defensive and angry and upset. And so there's these two sides of the spectrum that people can react to when they have those triggers. And it's creating, what I work with people to do is create that space of choice to be able to first realize that it isn't what's out there. It's got nothing to do with what's out there. It's what's happening in here and in here. What's going on in our body? What's going on with that ire, that anger, that frustration? And what are the thoughts that are sending me there from an anger, frustration perspective?
The anger and the frustration in the individual is causing behavioral problems for them, yet the company thinks that there's something worth salvaging here. What's the shining light that they see? Why even invest in this person?
Well, there's a few reasons. One is that that behavior wasn't there when they first hired them. And so they know that that's not necessarily who they are, that, you know. And so the other thing that they might see or they might have the awareness of is that the actions don't make the person. That there is the ability to shift. They may also have seen these kinds of shifts in other people, that they've actually been able to support and help other leaders through challenging behavioral situations. And the other reason is that they are bringing in results. They're actually creating results. However, they might be creating an equally significant number or quantity or whatever it would be, or a quality of negative results, people leaving, people shutting down, you know, innovation not being where they need it to be. The creativity and innovation isn't where the company wants it to be. So they know that they're bringing in revenue or they're creating results. They're actually getting things done, and they're just getting a lot of negative feedback or people quiet quitting, things like that.
So give us an example of some of the negative part of what we would see in this type of person. Are they simply arrogant and insulting people? Are they screaming and yelling? Are they throwing things? What are they doing that's upsetting people?
So those two are absolutely, they can be arrogant. They can be full of themselves. They might be talking over people. And one team that I worked with, I actually witnessed one of the leaders who would just get very physical, not at someone, but in a meeting, he would pound his fist on the table. I actually worked with a team. There were two different companies where the leader would get very loud, pound their fist on the table. They would be so overpowering that other people would shut down. Other people would just cross their arms and no longer provide input. I did a speaking engagement and I asked everyone to put on a post-it note, what were some of the qualities, I should bring that up, of leaders who were a does not play well with others or that they saw as a bad leader, micromanaging. They didn't trust. There wasn't any trust. They were overpowering. They wouldn't listen. They didn't take any input. They might listen to input, but they never did anything with it. They are siloed in either a very small portion of the team or by themselves. They won't meet with their team. They won't provide constructive feedback. They won't develop their people. There's all sorts of different things where this starts to show up. For some of them, they might even go back and forth, depending on the audience, that they are very overpowering in one situation and all of a sudden shut down in another. Doesn't always happen that way, but I've seen it happen that way, where they can kind of go in both directions, where they're very overpowering, very arrogant. They'll talk over people. They'll shut other people down. They will criticize and judge other people and their ideas and what's going on in the organization very negatively. Those are some of the things that you might see.
And Dottie, when you're called in to work with people like this, so first of all, the company's identified that there is a problem and we would like to save the person. And the person has to agree and say, yes, I've been acting up recently, or they probably won't give it the same measure that someone else is observing, but they might say, yes, I think there's a problem. Yeah, agree. So this person has to agree to work with you. You're working to get them to change their behavior. Where does it start?
It first starts with an assessment. If I can, we'll do a 360. If they already have a 360, that's where some of the feedback came through. I always try to get them feedback from their leader, feedback from their peers, and feedback from their direct reports so that we can get an accurate and unbiased input if we can. And then we start to also do some self-assessment and really look at where do you do your best? Where do you feel you're doing your best? Where do you get yourself tripped up or get into a place where you start reacting versus really having the agency to respond in the way that is going to serve the people best? So that's the second step. Then we start with some different tools and techniques to really begin to observe and really work with this leader to try to identify where are those instances? What's actually happening out there? And begin to help them to start to see what's happening inside their brain. So when I start to see this, this is what I'm thinking. And that takes a little bit of time to work on that observation process and really begin to witness, become their own witness. And sometimes we work with an accountability partner or their leader or someone else in the organization who they trust, if there is someone like that in the organization that they trust, who can provide them immediate feedback in the moment. So for example, I did this. I was getting feedback that I was too loud in meetings. And part of that is, one, my husband says, I come from the loud family. I have 7 siblings, big family. You know, there was a lot going on and everybody was just, you know, in order to be heard, you had to be loud. And so for me, it took me a long time. And I still sometimes have to catch myself that talking like this, which sounds very normal to you, is probably less loud than I was just 5 minutes ago. Because when I get very excited about a topic, I get very animated and my voice starts to get louder and louder and louder. And this really came to a head when I was working kind of early in my career at Harley. I got that feedback and I had a peer on the leadership team in the IT department who would help me. And when I would start to get animated or too loud, and not just animated, I should say too animated, like where it was getting too loud, he would make sure he sat next to me and under the table, he would do this. Just as a cue to help me like, oh, okay. Because it took a long time and that took a while for me to start to hear it and realize it, where now I can spot it, I know it, and then I can bring it down. That takes time. So that's another step in the process that I work with them on is there someone who can provide them feedback in the moment? When I was working with a leadership team at Harley, there was one gentleman who would think he was being funny and would make remarks that the team just did not appreciate and were somewhat crass, a little bit rude. And so I would provide that feedback to him after the fact. That one, I didn't do it in the moment. There were, and it only took a couple of times for him. I gave him the feedback the first time and he was like, oh, really? I said, didn't you see people's faces? You know, and getting leaders used to really being able to read the room, tune into what other people are saying, what they're not saying. Sometimes that's a skill that leaders have not been taught. So those are some of the key first, kind of the first several weeks that I work with people on. And some of it's really getting into practice and working on that over and over and over. I also do what I refer to as an energy and an energy assessment, where we look at what is everything in your life that you do and what categories, like categorize things into different areas. It's actually a freebie I have on my website already. And we look at where is anything out of balance and how do these activities make you feel? And is there anything out of balance? For example, I realized that I was doing a whole bunch in my life relative to my physical health, but in my spiritual health and my spiritual practices, there was very little. I was in a kind of a spiritual shift in my life. You know, it was very awakening for me to see where things were imbalanced. So we look at work, we look at home life, we look at play. For some people, I coached a woman last year who she had very little play in her life. And we look at it and we assess, what is that saying to you? I don't make any judgments about it, but the leader needs to look at it and decide for themselves, what is that saying? And how is that impacting the energy that I have, the capacity that I have, the agency I have when I go to work and when I'm in these situations?
Now, Dottie, when you're brought in to work with people, you're there in an official capacity. And so because of that, you have a certain amount of authority. But what about teammates that are working with this person? What can they do when this person just gets out of hand? It's a team meeting and they just get out of hand. And what can other people in the meeting do to at least prevent anybody from getting hurt?
I think there's a few things. When I first started working at Harley, one of my managers gave me three leadership principles. And one of them was get curious before you get furious. I am a huge proponent of providing feedback. And if they see an escalating situation, it might even be get curious, ask a question. Say, hey, you seem to be getting upset. What's happening that's creating this frustration? Help us understand why you're getting frustrated here. And if they don't feel safe in the room, do they feel safe outside the room and asking that question? Say, hey, you know, you really got pissed off in there. Help me understand what was going on. You know, is everything okay? And some of it might even be asking about them personally. And that's one of the things I recommend is get to know your team, your leader personally. If you start there, that starts to build the trust that will allow you that leeway, that trust bridge that's going to help you be able to ask those questions, to get curious, to provide the feedback. So as you get to know someone better and that trust starts to build, it's easier to have those conversations.
And I can see that one can ask those questions, can get curious if they're colleagues. But what if it's my boss who's the jerk?
Same thing. To me, it's the same thing. It's the absolute same thing. This might be good or bad. I attribute it to how I grew up Catholic. I'm not Catholic anymore, but I grew up Catholic. And when we were kids, we grew up in a very liberal, very progressive Catholic church. And all of the priests at the church, I think there were usually three at that time back then, and three of priests at the church, they were all friends of our family. They would come over for dinner. They would come out to our picnics. We'd hang out with them and go swimming. We got to know them as people. I never put them on a pedestal. And so as I got into corporate, I never put any one leader on a pedestal. I never had that, and that's, you know, not everyone is like this. I never had that challenge. I shouldn't say never, but rarely had the challenge where I didn't feel I had the agency to provide some sort of feedback or pushback. Everyone isn't like that. And that is a skill that I think is so critical. That's one of the things when I'm working with a whole organization, or at least a department within an organization, is building a culture of feedback. Honest, candid feedback. A second thing I work on is building a culture of healthy debate. So many people talk about others being conflict avoidant. Someone said that it is probably very, very rare, probably less than you could count on one hand, that you've experienced true conflict at work. What you're experiencing is discussion. It's working things out. It's debate. Unfortunately, not everybody is skilled in having those constructive discussions, constructive debate, constructive conflict kinds of situations. And they're used to people and things, you know, people making it personal. When it gets personal, when it's about you and not the idea, or even, you know, then people start to take it personally. And some people, when you're just challenging an idea, when someone starts to challenge an idea, they take it personally. I think you're a great person, love it, but I don't agree with how you're moving forward, you know, how you're, help me understand, because I don't agree that that's going to work.
Now, Dottie, I hear an interesting point there that I think is worth emphasizing, that it's okay. It's expected. Of course, you're going to have discussion, debate, disagreements in the workplace. And one needs a way of differentiating the issue from the person. It's not the person we're debating. It's the issue.
Yes. And that's a skill on both sides. The person who maybe makes a judgment or makes some critical statement, that's a skill on that side, and it's a skill on the person receiving it. It's something on both sides that needs to be a learned skill of giving and receiving feedback.
Can you tell us some magic phrases that one can use to depersonalize the issues?
So one of the things that I do with a leader and their team is I actually encourage a leader to ask people in the team to be a devil's advocate. And so it might even just be, I'm just going to play devil's advocate about the idea that we're discussing. I don't completely disagree. And there's a part of this I'd like to understand more. It isn't making any judgment about the person. If we come off with a statement like, well, that's a dumb idea, someone has to be pretty advanced to not take that personally, because what they hear is, you're dumb. Truly and honestly, that's not what they said. And on the side of receiving it is that it's pretty rare, and it happens because I've seen leaders make it personal. I've seen leaders really get mean. I've seen leaders get judgmental and degrading. And to me, that has no place in the workplace. That needs somehow to make it to that person's leader, that person's HR, that person's whatever part of the organization that is reviewing them and saying whether they are going to get promoted, whether they're going to move on in the organization, whatever. When I worked at Harley and I was the manager of change management, that was the first role I had there. And we had integrated change management into the whole project management methodology. And we were reviewing all of the project managers to see who would get promoted to senior project manager. And one of the elements that they had talked about was how well are they integrating the change management into the project management methodology. And one of the leaders, they had said, oh yeah, he's doing great. This guy's doing awesome. He's on budget, on time, and he's got great reviews from his customers. And I said, whoa, hold the phone, time out. I have heard from every single person on his team that they never want to work with him again. I said, he's delivering results. He can be the right kind of person to the customer, the right kind of deliverer as it relates to time and money, No one on his last team wants to ever work with him again. He's mowing people over in the process. And that's how you're going to promote them? And you're going to promote him? What does that say to all of those people who work for him? That's what you promote. That's what you support. And you are not going to do anything about that kind of behavior. So those are the kinds of things of how do you make it more integrated into the whole system within the organization of giving and receiving that feedback and making sure that what is the acceptable behavior? Because if you don't have leaders who are observing that behavior at some point or somebody who's observing it who can get that feedback into the system, then the system's broken.
Mm. Dottie, for people who would be interested to know more about your services and how you might help them, first of all, who are the people that you can best help and how might you do that?
I can do leadership development and team development with any leaders. And I also specialize with women who have been given the feedback that they're either too much, overpowering, too pushy, bitchy, aggressive, all of that, or who've been given the feedback that they're too emotional, too sensitive, they're taking things too personally kind of thing. What I do is I help women to find that balance, their own personal balance of power, so they're not seen as overpowering and they're not being taken seriously because of their sensitivities, their emotions, not that they turn that off. I want to be able to help women be in their authentic self without being overpowering or over emotional.
Mm. And we'll have that link in the description below for people to contact you. Dottie, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a team leader who has an individual on their team who is a star in terms of their delivering results. However, nobody on the team wants to work with them. And other than calling you in, what one, two, or three pieces of advice would you give to that team leader to salvage what they've got there?
First of all, they need to identify the behavior that is creating people not wanting to work with them and make sure that that player is aware of that behavior and that that behavior won't be tolerated. So they have to at least create some sort of a communication with that person and some sort of expectations. Because if they really don't want that person to piss everyone off and have everyone leave the team, and they still want to create the results, so you want to compliment them and appreciate them for what they are doing in terms of bringing in the results and tell them while that is valued in the organization, so is being kind and considerate and compassionate and to the humans on the team. And so really creating those clear expectations of what behaviors would be more acceptable, what behaviors will be tolerated. And then follow the fuck through. You know, you need to follow through. You cannot provide that kind of feedback to an employee and then not follow through. And they need to be able to have someone on the team who's willing to also observe that behavior and share feedback with that person. See if they can find one or two people who can be that accountability in the room that that can say after the meeting, hey, you did it again. Or, wow. Really impressed this meeting. None of that stuff came out, but they have to get specific on an observable behavior and not just a one-off thing. What are those behaviors that they've been experiencing or witnessing over time?
Mm, valuable advice. And Dottie, I wish I had that 30 years ago.
I wish I had it 30 years ago, George. That's why I do what I do, because I wish I had this 30 years ago when I was getting does not play well with others on my report card.
Mm. My guest today is Dottie Posto, reminding you to get curious before you get furious.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.